following is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Good morning. Court Radio is now in session. Call 215-227-2727. When you've got legal questions, we've got the answers. This is Court Radio. And now here's your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome. This is Court Radio. I'm Dean Weitzman, joined in the studio with my co-host, the one and only David M. Rappaport.
Good morning.
Hello, Dave.
Hello.
Folks, welcome and good morning. Enjoy the next hour of legal entertainment. David and I are going to talk about legal issues that are out and about in Philly, and also answer all of your questions. All you got to do is give us a call at 215-227-2727. That's the number to call. 215-227-2727. We'll get to your questions one at a time. Hey, Dave.
Yeah.
You know, my Philly lawyer is, we moved. It was just like a move from one part of the building to another.
Probably, what, less than 100, at some points were less than 50 feet.
Yes.
But
yes.
Still, major.
It was like we were moving to the moon.
I know, I witnessed it.
Yeah. And the whole phone system is moving, and I'm a little concerned about that because that's how people get in touch with us, the phone.
Yeah, plus you're also going from, you're untethering from the landline, which is always scary. But
yep, we're doing a voice over IP.
Yeah.
Our phone system will be internet-based. I'm interested to see how it works, we'll see. I'm interested to see if we got phones today.
If they're working, yeah.
215-227-2727. But, because it's a whole process to get the calls to forward to the station for
right.
this hour. In any event, shout out to Ralphie, at the building.
Oh, yeah, Ralph.
Yeah.
He's listening.
Absolutely. He's like the number one fan of Court Radio.
Was he instrumental in the move, by the way?
Of course, and so many other people. Ralph and the team at Two Penn Center were really big part of helping us get moved.
I saw Art in there walking around.
Yep.
But Ralph's the man. Ralph's the man.
So we have now 13,000 square feet of new space. I'm looking forward to how our clients enjoy that. But so they're all welcome to come down and check us out. 215-227-2727 gets you into the studio where David and I will answer your questions. Today's hot button topic, David, is going to be domestic relations. And joining us in studio is the newest My Philly Lawyer, Irina Shiloh. Good morning and welcome to Court Radio.
Thank you, Dean. Good morning. Good morning to all the listeners.
Wow. Irina is, how long have you been working at My Philly Lawyer now?
Since May 5th of this year.
May 5th. All right.
Still loving it.
She's, and I'll bet you will be for quite some time. She is a graduate at Drexel University's Earl Mack School of Law and worked for Sandra Mazur Moss. Judge Moss is retired now, but she was a fixture on the Common Pleas bench in Philadelphia for decades. And you know what? Irina brings with her, and that's really what David and I and Irina are going to talk about today. Irina brings with her an area of the law that My Philly Lawyer was sorely lacking in, and that was domestic relations. Now, we have our own little domestic relations boutique, in addition to doing personal injury and in addition to the birth injury litigation, we're doing domestic relations, which means we're representing people who have we're representing people who have issues in their marriage. So divorces, child custody, support, these are all areas that really we didn't focus on before and would refer our clients to other practitioners. But now those are the types of cases we're handling in-house. And Irina is managing the Northeast office. Our second office opened on Bustleton Avenue in the far Northeast. And so that's what you're doing. So how do you feel about all that?
I feel great. I feel that it's really great that I brought my practice into My Philly Lawyer, where I can have support from other lawyers as well. And it's easier to work with other people, but I still get to have my independent clients, and I love family law because I get to connect with people on the most intimate level. They tell me, and they have to tell me everything, and they do, and it's a really special feeling.
Yeah, I'll bet. Well, that might be the one.
Knowing everyone's intimate secrets is interesting.
So we're going to get over to that in a second. But David, some things are going on around town.
Hey, the first thing I want to mention though is, you know, we've gotten to this habit now. Every time I walk, you know, the listeners don't really know this, but I'm right across the hall from you. So I walk over, and every time I walk into your suite, I get bombarded by your team asking me to sign several shirts from Court Radio.
Yeah.
So we've gotten in the habit now. I think every shirt now that goes out has to be signed, right?
Yep, absolutely.
So you and I sign it. I'm trying to figure out I always sign it in the same spot.
Yeah.
And I've been signing it in my illegible signature, kind of.
Yeah.
You sign Dean.
Yeah.
That's your signature. You just write Dean.
That's it.
So I'm interested to know what people think about that. Do you want a signature on it, or do you want just Dean and Dave? Or do you want, you know, a signature, like something, you know, that later on people will analyze and say, yep, that was his signature. It's worth $500 billion on eBay. Instead of, person wrote Dean. It kind of looks like anyone could have written that.
Well, it's one half of my name.
Anyway.
I remember when, in early days of practicing law, I had to get actually had to get many signatures analyzed. I don't remember.
I guess.
Yeah, it was a case. I don't remember if it was like a will contest or what. But I had to hire a handwriting analyst to determine whether it was the person's signature. And we had to get specimens of their signature that we knew were originals, like signatures on canceled checks and stuff like that.
Right.
And then I brought in a team of like FBI analysts, and they CSI'd signatures for me.
Cool.
You know,
that's neat.
Yep. 215-227-2727. Let's grab a listener right off the bat. We're going to talk to Judy from Germantown, who's got a child support issue. Judy, welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, gentlemen. I have a quick question. My girlfriend's son recently had a child by a woman that had been on welfare for her first child, which was not his child. When they went to child support court, child support actually gave him a payment of $500. Actually, I believe it may have been through welfare, even though the child that he had with the woman, she had only collected about $100, $200 from them. Welfare informed him at that time that they could actually get their money back from either child father number one or child father number two. And since they were not getting any child support payments from father number one, they hit him with high child support payments, higher than what the woman had collected for his child. Is that something that should occur? And how should that be handled? And I'll hang up while you answer. Thanks.
Thanks, Judy. Wow. An efficient caller, I'll tell you that.
I like that.
I'm going to pass the baton to Irina.
I'm sorry she hung up, because she definitely deserved the T-shirt for that.
Yeah.
That a whole presentation.
Go ahead, Irina.
Yeah, that's not something that should happen. No father should pay for another a child that's not his. It's true that welfare can collect the money from the father for their own payments. Basically, they're just saying, because we are giving money to the mom, when she gets money from the father, then we'll get that money. But it shouldn't affect the amount of child support. There's a very fixed formula decided by the support guidelines. It's the law, it's the statute. So if he's not happy with the amount, if he thinks it should be different, he should go further before a master or appeal it, file exceptions, and go before a judge. But the short answer is no, it shouldn't happen just because they didn't collect from the one father, then collect from another. Those are two different families. But it's possible that something is different because you said your friend told you this, so he could be wrong about certain facts, but no, it shouldn't happen.
Okay. Well, Judy's not here for that banter back and forth, but I'm sure that she'll follow up with it. And if somebody wants to get in touch with us after the show, if you've got child support needs that need to be represented by an attorney, all you have to do is give us a call at 215-227-2727, our normal number. We'll get you an appointment to see Irina, and you'll be on your way. But, yeah, it would seem that maybe there's some unknown facts on that issue. I wonder, like, the thing that came to my mind was, in that case, is paternity presumed? If you have one child with a woman and you've acknowledged that that's your child, is the other child's paternity presumed?
It's not unless they're married. In an intact marriage, let's say there's one child that's from that father, and then another child is born, and he's not the father, but the family is intact. They're still married. Until then, he is the father. He's presumed the father of the child.
Ah, so okay. So when your wife, your married wife, has a child, it is presumed yours until proven otherwise.
Yes, and until divorce, basically.
Well, what if during the pendency of the marriage, you're married, you dispute that this child is yours, and you go for a paternity test, you have a DNA testing, and it's proven through DNA testing that it's not your child. Is it still your child?
No.
Yeah.
Well, yes and no. I mean, legally, it is your child, but during the marriage, you have to support that child, but if you get a divorce, you don't have to have support the child, and you don't have to have any custodial rights.
Ah, wow. And that, you know what? That's a perfect segue to one of our news topics that David and I had planned to talk about, and that is, David?
Sherry Shepherd. That's what you're referring to,
I assume.
Yes, this is a real interesting issue, which I think, I don't remember this ever coming up, at least to my knowledge, which is Sherry Shepherd is a woman.
Who is she?
She was the former View host, I guess. I'm not really familiar with that. I'm sure a lot of people know who she is, but we know the show The View, and she was a former View host. So anyway, her husband and her, she has a child, but her husband and her wanted to have another one, and I guess she, for whatever reason, maybe she's unable to have it physically, I don't know, but they had his sperm and someone else's egg fertilized by his sperm. A surrogate, basically. But now they have some marital difficulties. I guess they're getting divorced, and she doesn't want to be deemed the parent of that child. That's going to be, I don't think the child's been born yet, but.
Correct.
Yes, unborn. But when it is, they're married, and they've agreed through documentation and the surrogate contract and all that they're going to be the parents of this baby. She says, wait a minute, I'm getting divorced now. I don't want to support that baby. It's not my egg. I have nothing to do with that baby now.
I say, you know what?
And I'm done.
It seems like a little bit about kind of what you were just talking about. They're married.
Right.
But more than important, and it's something you touched on, David, there's a contract.
Right.
And so the child is the beneficiary of that contract, in a sense. The child's birth is occurring because two people said, we're going to support you.
That's
and
right.
Be your parent.
Correct.
And so the child, you would think, has a right to have that contract enforced.
Now, what was brought up in the story here is that it depends on the state, too. This is state law. So she filed in New Jersey. Apparently, I guess she must have some link to New Jersey. New Jersey doesn't recognize surrogate. Children or Sarah, California does, which I assume is where the husband lives, and that's where he wants the case to be obviously decided. So there's an issue now of where it's going to be decided, too. This is like a real.
I'd like to know what our listeners think.
Yeah, it's an interesting issue.
Should she be forced to support this child, which is not a child born from her egg? And is not carried in her body. But once the child is born, should she support the child because the woman, Ms. Shepherd, entered into a contract, a surrogacy contract, that says, yes, woman surrogate, you are going to carry a child that will be mine and my husband's.
Well, you know, I think the point you made was the best one, which is, they both got together and agreed, and that's the baby was then conceived. It's almost as if, I mean, you could make the argument, the two of them conceived it naturally. Okay, it isn't natural. We all understand that. It's someone else's egg because she couldn't conceive. But they agreed, and then that's why the baby was created.
Exactly.
So what a horrible thing to then abandon, you know. I just created a baby, but now I'm just going to run away and abandon it because now I'm not with the husband anymore. So.
Yeah, well, isn't that happening on a regular basis anyway?
But you're forced to support, right?
Right.
So
exactly.
Mm-hmm.
That contract you make when you have unprotected sex.
Right.
That's really, it's an unspoken contract, but contract nonetheless. But the beneficiary of that contract is the child.
Right. And that's,
and that's really who is getting the support, and that's who the courts are working for.
Right.
And let's hear what Irene has to say. She's sitting on
chomping
the edge
at the
of
bit
her seat.
There. Yeah. What are your thoughts on that?
I've thought about it a lot, and obviously we don't know what the courts are going to decide, and they don't necessarily have to decide what's most fair for the child or for the mother. The difference between the contract that we enter into every time we have sex, the possibility of having a child, is that we are the natural parents then, but she is not, and she just signed a contract. So it really boils down to whether a surrogacy contract should be enforced. It has been, for example, this is not in Pennsylvania, but in PA, it has been enforced when the surrogacy parents want the child and the gestational carrier says, no, I don't want to give away the baby. But in this case, they're trying to force her to pay child support for a child she doesn't want. So it could go either way. She could say,
well,
I don't want it.
There's one other aspect, that the little chink in here that our listeners need to think about with to call in. She's claiming that her husband knew, I'm going to divorce you. And he kind of did this in order to get her to pay child support.
And I say that.
But why would he do, why would anyone do, like, that's kind of weird.
I say that would be a reason why she could bring a claim against him for reimbursement of some sort. But again, the beneficiary, and really the innocent beneficiary of this whole Megillah is the child.
Correct.
And so that's why if I were running the world, and
thank
you know,
God, we are in the world. Well, go ahead.
If I were running the world, she'd have to pay support. Yeah, from what everything I know so far.
Right.
And again, you know, I mean, I'd listen to what she had to say, but I wouldn't pay much attention to it. Okay. if I were running the world.
She was on The View after all. I mean, who wants to?
Yeah, she'd be paying. But let's listen to what Petra has to say. Frankfurt, the city.
How you doing?
The community.
Petra.
Okay.
How you doing?
Good.
I disagree. I think if she's not the biological parent, I don't think she should be paying. She's out of it now. So
what if he's incapable of fully supporting the child? Who then?
Well, he's not. Oh, he is half the biological parent.
Yeah. So who then pays? Guess who? We do. All of us, taxpayers.
David's question or comment is, who is going to be responsible for the child in your world, Petra?
There's another lady involved. She's carrying a baby, so maybe they can make a decision. Maybe she can keep the baby and support it.
Well, she's a surrogate. She didn't want the baby. Yeah.
She's an oven. This is a bun, and it's in the oven. And
she got paid for it,
right,
and that was it.
And so, you know, she... and we don't even know, and probably it's not even her egg.
It's not.
Yeah, so literally they have an unknown anonymous donor for the egg, and then they have... Ooh. They have the father, whose sperm it is.
Right.
But this other woman, she's just an incubator. She's got nothing else to do with it. So, given those choices, if you have to have – if the ideal situation is you want two people to support the baby, right? So you got the father. We know he's on the hook no matter what. But who's the mother who's on the hook? Is it the woman who said originally – I want to have a baby with you, and let's go get a surrogate, and let's go do this. And they did, and they made it happen, and they put the egg and the sperm together, and they put it in the woman. And then, after all that, she said, oops, I made a mistake. I'm not doing this. Now, is that fair?
No, because the baby.
Poor baby is.
The baby, yeah, the poor baby. I agree with you now.
All right. See, Petra.
After cross examination, yeah. Dean is.
It's usually how the witnesses work with me. You know, we start out, they fight me, but after a while, they're my friend and they're saying what I need them to say. So, thank you, Petra. Petra, stay on the line. Monica's going to get your address and your shirt size. We're going to get you a Court Radio T-shirt for being a listener and participating today.
Thank you. All right. Have a good one.
All right, Petra, hold on. All right, just hold on the line. All right, Monica, there you go. So,
interesting issues.
Yeah.
Who knows? We don't know. No one knows the answers to this, Ed. This is new legal ground.
It is. Let's talk to Thomas from Southwest Philly on a child support issue. Hey, Thomas, welcome to Court Radio. Oh, Thomas. Thomas?
All right.
He's a goner.
Moving on.
Yeah.
Sorry, Thomas.
All right. How about Patricia from Mantua? Hey, Patricia. Welcome to Court Radio.
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning. What's your question?
My question is, my car, well, I was in an accident. My car was towed to, the insurance company had the car. And I had items in the car. They already paid off on the claim. I wanted to find out what's the time limit for them to hold my items in the car without, and they didn't notify me.
When you say you signed off on it, the car was totaled, I assume. They sent you, you signed the title and I guess what's called a salvage certificate. Do you remember signing all these papers? You sent it back to them.
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know. Dean may have a different answer than me, but my thought is once you sign that title and send it back to them, you've signed away the car. It's not yours anymore. So there is no time frame for them to hold it. They're assuming that you've taken everything out, and they now own the car, and they can do with it what they please.
Well, let me ask you something, Patricia. Well, as a practical matter,
I had been speaking with the people that were holding the car. And they said that they will hold the items.
Okay.
Well, that's a contract.
That's different.
Yeah, that's a contract. They said, okay, we're going to protect your stuff.
Right.
And they didn't live up to their obligation. And they're bailers. And so I would say you'd have a good claim if you brought them to municipal court.
So you signed the papers to the insurance company, but the place where the car was is a third party. They're not connected.
Right. What was in the car? Do you want to reveal that to us on Court Radio?
Just some personal items, some of my clothing and footwear and things like that.
Sure. It's Imelda Marcos we're talking to. So how much was it worth?
Excuse me?
You have to estimate the value.
Yeah, you have to estimate the value because you're going to ask them for some money. So how much was all that worth, do you think?
Oh, okay. But I just wanted to find out if they were still liable because they could have called me. I would have.
If they said we're going to hold and protect your stuff and they didn't, then I'd say that you're right. They're liable. You can bring a claim in small claims court. And I would also say that if you have insurance like renter's insurance or homeowner's insurance, any of that insurance, if you have items in your car stolen, your auto insurance doesn't pay for it unless it's attached to the car, like the radio or speakers or something. But if it's just our stuff in the car that gets stolen, then our homeowner's or renter's insurance is the insurance policy that we turn to pay us for that. So that's another option. Patricia, thanks for calling Court Radio. Have a great Sunday.
I want to ask one more not a question, but I want to comment on this Sherry show.
Oh, okay.
Would that be also entrapment on
it could,
his
well,
part?
Well, that's...
Not entrapment, but...
Entrapment is a legal term of
criminal,
art
for
when you weren't intending to do a criminal activity that you are kind of... arm twisted into doing. So it isn't that sex isn't criminal yet, but
creating a baby.
Yeah, nor is creating a baby. So in the legal term entrapment wouldn't apply to that. But but I get your point. And that's what David raised earlier. Like maybe the guy, was committing the contract. You know, when you have a contract.
he was plotting on.
That's what she alleges. He says, you know, we were trying to have a baby before this. So.
Right. When you enter into a contract, you have to have clean hands. You have to have, you know, it's an even exchange. And if we're just talking about it in the cold hard terms of contract, if he never really intended to be the father and have her be the mother, then there's some, you know, there could be a valid issue
maybe
there
between the two of them, as you said. But still, it's the baby's interest that we have to worry about.
And the baby is the real the baby is the person who's enforcing that contract, and the poor baby has nothing to do with these plotting people.
Yeah, that's right. The poor baby.
All right, Patricia, be well. Take care. Thanks for calling Court Radio. All right, we got Thomas back on the line from Southwest who wants to ask a child support question. Yes, Thomas.
Yeah, good morning, Dean.
Good morning.
Hey.
I talked to you about 2-3 times before, last year and this year. I have a case. My case has been going on ever since 1994. Okay. It took place in Philadelphia. It was an interstate case. First of all, my son is 37. Second of all, my daughter is 31. Now, the first time I went to 11th Street, South 34th Street, downtown family court, I was locked up. She paid the $500 for me to get out of jail. I had 90 days to get a job. I got a job. I was been working one job, then I worked another job, then I worked another job, and continued on paying my child support. I reported to them, let them know that I was working, showed them my pay stubs, everything. What I'm going through today, they're taking my check. They're taking $400. At first, they were taking $150. Now they're taking $400, and I have nothing left after that. I'm trying to figure, what can I do? I've already been back down 34th Street. They got me set up to go August the 1st for court.
Okay, the answer what you can do, let me just real quick, give me the yes or no here. Anytime you've ever gone down to family court, have you gone with representation or did you go alone?
I went alone.
All right. So that's the first problem, because if something funky is happening, it's happening because you don't know what to do when you're down there and you don't have proper representation. And you're paying $400 a week?
Every two weeks.
Okay. So you're paying $10,000 a year. Do you think you could pay a few dollars to have real representation when you go down there instead of going it alone?
I was trying to get a lawyer, but the lawyer wouldn't nobody touch it
because you weren't going to pay them. Because if you were going to pay them,
they would touch it.
I got 10,000 lawyers in Philadelphia. If you pay them, they'll be there. But you have to pay on family court matters. Unlike, we represent a whole lot of folks at My Philly Lawyer who have personal injury cases and medical malpractice and birth injury cases. And we don't take any money up front for them. We work on a contingent fee basis. Unfortunately, in the domestic relations world, we like all the other practitioners, have to be paid in advance. If we're not, we can't go. The only thing we have to sell is our time and knowledge. So the bottom line is that if you want representation, you're going to have to pay to have that representation. And when you do, you're going to have somebody by your side who's going to make sure you're not taken advantage of. Irina, would you say that if somebody's making $400 every 2 weeks, there's no way in the world they should be paying out $400 every 2 weeks for child support?
Yeah, there's a formula that's applied. But what I want to know is, why is he still paying child support when the children are 31 and 37?
I suspect it's arrears.
I can't understand it myself.
Well, let me ask you this.
My case was closed 2010.
Here's a quick question. Now, answer this question. When your children were under 18, did you regularly pay child support?
Yes.
Never missed child support?
Never. because it was coming out my pay.
Well, okay. then that would be extremely crazy unusual.
We got to get to the bottom of that and get it unteased. But again, you know, we can't do that on a radio show. I know you've called in, but if you want representation, you got the money to pay, then give us a call during the week and we'll get Irina on the case and she'll
call you tomorrow. I'm calling you the first thing tomorrow morning.
All right.
You better be ready for that.
I'm coming home with nothing.
Okay.
Yeah, we get it. I'm still working.
I hope there's something besides nothing because you're going to have to come in with some cash for representation. But, Thomas, give us a call tomorrow, but be prepared to pay for representation in this forum. Okay? Thanks for calling Court Radio. 215-227-2727.
He's going to call. I know. I can tell from his voice. I guarantee you better be ready for that phone call tomorrow.
I guarantee you he's going to get a T-shirt, but I can't guarantee he's getting much else. I mean, if Thomas has the money for representation, then we're going to put the whole team on it, okay? Folks, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back in 2 minutes. Keep your domestic relations calls coming. We got Irina Shiloh here from My Philly Lawyer, and David and I are here to answer your other questions. We'll be right back in 2 minutes.
If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer. When winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years. It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today.
Is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Good morning and welcome to Court Radio. I'm joined in the studio with my co-host, David M. Rappaport.
Good morning.
Hi, Dave.
Hey.
David and I have a friend with us today, Irina Shiloh, who's the newest My Philly Lawyer. And Irina focuses her practice on domestic relations. And she's heading up the brand new Northeast office. Welcome to Court Radio, Irina.
Thank you, Dean.
Have you had lunch at Aldo's yet? You know, the pizza place, right? Sort of next door.
I think that answers your question. She's giving you that.
Yeah, like what is Aldo's?
Blank stare.
But wait, you're right there, and you have never been to Aldo's.
David will introduce you.
I will introduce you to Aldo's. We've talked about it before. Literally right next to you.
What a bummer.
For you, because the pizza is amazing.
There you go.
Okay.
We fitted in bummer today, David.
In fact,
David.
I'm going to call them and have them send you lunch one day this week.
Oh, okay. Are you paying for it?
Dean will pay for it.
Because, there you go. You know. What a lawyer. She wants to know who's paying for it.
Dean will pay for it.
And what a lawyer. He pushes the ball off into my court.
Exactly.
215-227-2727. We got new offices in Center City, Philadelphia. If you're being represented by My Philly Lawyer, come on down and check us out. And we have our new Northeast office, which is conveniently located on Busselton Avenue in the Somerton section of Philadelphia, just above Northeast High School. Got plenty of parking up there.
Right next to Washington High School.
Did I say Northeast? Oh, I'm so sorry.
George Washington.
Yes.
My alma mater.
Thank you, David.
Thank you.
Bummer. all right, Irina, here's a question for you. Is it difficult for fathers to get full custody? You know, again, when I was a new practitioner in the law, I did some domestic relations, and it was at that time very difficult, almost impossible for a father to get full custody. What's it like now?
Not today. Actually, the family code says specifically that there can't be a preference between two genders. So nobody has a priority. There is still a presumption that, but this is unofficial, it's not in the statute, that a newborn that needs to breastfeed every day, several times a day, that baby should be with the mother. So we can have something like shared custody, 1 week with the father, another week with the mother when the baby is breastfeeding. But other than that, there is no preference. There is no presumption in favor of any parent. In fact, same-sex parenthood is recognized in Pennsylvania. And you can have, now we have the marriage also recognized, the gay marriage. But even from 2002, we've had courts have allowed same-sex partners to adopt a child. So one of them would be the adoptive or biological parent, and the other could actually adopt the same child. So yes, in PA, for the past 12 years, we can have two dads or two moms officially.
Wow.
Wow, I didn't know that.
So as soon as you're off the boob, you're eligible to be, you know, there is no gender bias.
Exactly.
We're gender neutral after you're off the boob. David?
Yeah, I have no comment on
that. Okay. We got calls lined up. Let's talk to, I want some surrogacy questions. So let's talk to Jay, line 5 from Northeast Philly. Hey, Jay, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, good morning.
Northeast Philly, you're near our new office, too.
Oh, so I've heard.
Good. Come by and see Irina. She's a lovely person waiting for people to come by and say hi.
Well, so, I will come by and say hi, but I won't need her service, but I will definitely say hi.
She'll give you pizza.
What's your surrogacy comment, Jay?
My comment is this, that this woman is being hammered in the media.
Right.
This situation did not occur until the current husband became cohorts with the first husband. This current husband did not even mention about wanting full custody of this child until he could not get around the annulment that she had, the prenuptial that she had with him.
Uh-huh.
Now, both husbands are coming at her now to want full custody of the children because they're saying that she's an unfit mother because she won't have time for this baby like she doesn't have time for the other child. They are using these children as paychecks.
Yeah.
And she never said anything about she did not want this child until he came back at her and said, I want full custody and child support.
Mm-hmm.
Ah.
Interesting. Yeah, well, I'm not sure motive for a contract, if it would pre-existed. But if it changed now, for whatever reason his motives are, still, I don't know if that makes a difference.
Yeah, but see, Jay is doing what most people do, and it's natural. I'm not,
right.
I'm not arguing the point. It's a natural position. But you're posing the question or thinking about it in terms of him versus her. And in that regard, I would agree with you that she may be a victim. But what I'm saying to you is that it is this third person, the child, who's really we're looking out for and saying you have a duty to support this child that you helped create. And in the help create in this instance is you entered into a contract. But so I don't know that motive plays a part in that. Now, if there's a way to force, you know, to punish him for that, I'm all for it. But I don't know. But I won't punish the child for it. How's that?
Right. I agree with you that the child should not be punished. But I feel that if he wants full custody, I would give him full custody. But I would not.
No money, right?
No money. Oh, no, money. She should give money.
Okay.
But she should not be responsible for the sole financial responsibility.
Oh, I totally agree with that.
A percentage should be given that she should pay.
Oh, yeah, right. I agree with that.
And that gets down to, in Pennsylvania, there's guidelines, and Irina can comment on that, but there is an equitable way of divvying up who pays what and how much. It's not nobody's solely responsible.
But it seems to me she probably has a lot more income than he does, which
maybe.
Is why he's doing this. Right?
I mean, what is all this about? I mean, she's an ex
right
host of The View.
Yeah, but
does
she's
she
in,
really have any money?
Probably. She's in show business. I mean, she's in entertainment business or news business.
Some
so.
Of those people get by on $2.50 and unemployment and whatever else.
Nah,
I mean,
I think she's fairly popular.
I don't even know her.
Maybe she invested
the
money.
She's been around. As a matter of fact, you might. I don't know if you ever watched the sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
She was the brother's partner, police partner.
Oh.
On that show.
Okay. Oh, you mean the big, Brad, whatever. Brad Garrett was his name. That's
right,
the actor's
exactly.
name. Yeah,
Brad
okay.
Garrett.
Gotcha.
David is so
yeah,
on
you
top
like that?
Of this.
I am
yes.
on top of it. All right.
All right, Jay. Thanks for calling Court Radio. Thanks for listening, and have a great Sunday.
You too.
Interesting
talk to Quentin from South Philly, who's got a child support question on line one. Hello, Quentin. Welcome to Court Radio.
How you guys doing? How you doing, Dave?
Hey, how are you?
I'm okay.
Long now, time.
This is the issue. Yeah. This is the issue I have. I'm paying child support on a 10-year-old girl that currently lives in Knoxville, Tennessee. A few months ago, they sent me, Pennsylvania sent me, child support sent me a notice that they'll be taking X amount of dollars on my check for insurance. That they're, you know, and I wanted to know if, you know, the child don't live with me. The mother also works. How do they pick and choose who pay insurance? Or is they just taking a percentage from it?
The health insurance, you mean? You're talking about health insurance?
Yes, health insurance.
They literally just decide whoever has the better opportunity to pay for health insurance, that's the parent who will pay. I can't tell you without knowing more facts. But generally, if let's say the father is already paying for health insurance or it goes from his employer's check, then that's what's going to continue unless the mother has a better opportunity. So they just somehow decided maybe you had a hearing that you didn't attend since this is in Tennessee.
No, I attended all my hearings in reference to child support. They just sent this letter let me know they're automatically taking this out my check, $169 for a child that don't even stay in the same state.
And who entered that order? Tennessee?
Yeah.
I assume Pennsylvania is just enforcing the orders that were in place in Tennessee. Were you at the hearings in Tennessee?
No, I wasn't. Every time I had to go to court for child support, I would have to go down 11th Street.
So let me ask you a question. I have a question for Irina. When you have a child who does not reside in Pennsylvania, where is venue? Where does the hearings take place for that child's support?
Well, from my experience, he would have to go here in Pennsylvania. He would have a hearing. She would have it there.
Okay.
So I know it's a little chopped up and weird, but they would have to.
So there would be
two separate hearings then.
Yeah.
One in Tennessee, one here, and then what? Do they talk to each other? Tennessee and Pennsylvania.
I don't know how they do it. I've never had a case with.
I thought once a child's 6 months in another jurisdiction, that venue for purposes. Oh, but support
for
custody, it moves.
That's different. Yeah,
yeah, for custody, it would move to Tennessee. But for support, it's wherever the income earner.
See,
is.
I think you need to take a proactive stance on it and go make your own petition in Philly for a modification, In other words, you're. It sounds to me like you're the recipient of what's going on in Tennessee. And as Dean said, they're just making an order there, sending it to Philadelphia, and you know it's in place. Now you can fight that order, and you should.
Now,
if you think it's wrong,
modifications can occur when there's been a substantial change in circumstances. But you won't be able to know that until you sit down with Irina or somebody and discuss the entire situation, figure out what's in place, get all the orders, and then if a modification petition is warranted, David's correct. You could file a modification petition and say, I shouldn't be paying this. I don't have enough money. It's taking too great a percentage of my income, and you can modify an existing order. It doesn't have to remain that way forever.
Okay.
I mean, she may, you don't even know, she may have a job that would put her...
She do have a job.
Yeah, and her child may be eligible to be on her insurance for a lot less. So you never know.
So, yeah, but that would begin to change the circuit. You can't change something. It's got an order. There's an order. You have to continue to pay it until the court changes the order itself. And the only way to do that is to have file a petition for modification. So you do have some control over the situation. And if it's warranted, it'll be granted. 215-227-2727. Quentin, give us a call during the week, and we'll get you an appointment with the CI Arena.
Okay.
Yeah, well, no, I think he was rushing off to call us.
Yeah, exactly. He was running to the Northeast office.
Let's talk to Leona on line 5, who's got a custody question. Good morning, Leona. Welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning.
What's Hello. Your question?
Okay. I have two children with a gentleman, and we broke up about 2 years ago. Now, when we broke up, he kicked me out of the house, so I had to reestablish myself and get a place to live and all that. So the kids were staying with him, but we didn't have any formal custody order in place. Now, the agreement between the two of us was that once I got my apartment, that he would return the kids to me. Now, in the process, I bought a house. But the house needed renovations. It was unsafe condition. So during the renovations, the children stayed with him as well. I was paying him child support, but not through the court system. Now, recently, I'll say in March, I got an order from Department of Welfare that he applied for welfare. Now, he and I were having discussions the whole time, and my renovations were only about 2 months away. He went and got on welfare, so of course they filed for child support. Now, I have an order to pay $596 a month child support, but he's still on welfare. Now, our custody issue is getting seen in court August 1st, and I just wanted to know, like, what are the chances of them actually granting him custody of them?
Well, nobody can tell you what the chances are because there are 16 factors that judges have to consider. I don't know if you have looked them up online, but basically your relationship with your children so far, their ages, your living conditions, criminal record, mental illness, there's a bunch of factors the courts have to consider. So nobody can tell you what the chances are that you would get custody. You could go for primary. You could ask for primary custody, and maybe you will get it, in which case you would not have to pay child support. He would have to pay you child support, although he's on welfare, so he probably wouldn't pay you until he gets a job. But
well, he doesn't have a job. He's never had a job. I don't think he's ever in his life had a job. And he does have a criminal record.
Okay, what's his crime? What's the crime? What's the criminal record?
The criminal record, drugs, and I believe he has a charge for child endangerment.
Okay, so that's in your favor. You should push that in court. You should be legally represented because of things like that. If you have an attorney on August 1st, you could win primary custody. And if you... I mean, I can't promise that you have the chance because it also depends on you and your relationship with the children. How old are the children?
5 and 3.
Okay, so they're not going to be asked by the judge what their preference is. When did you leave the house?
I want to say November 2011.
Oh, so you haven't lived with your children?
For almost their entire life. I mean, the five-year-old, she left when he was two, or and the three-year-old was only a few months old. So,
but I did have a relationship with my children. I saw them
right.
And had a relationship with them and took care of them financially, yes.
Okay. Well, you know, all these things come into play. Are you represented for the August 1st hearing?
I am not as of yet, and that's why I called, because I wanted to know, should I go ahead and have a lawyer with me?
Yes, you should. But I have one question. How is he supporting the children? I know you said you were giving him some money.
He's on welfare.
No. Before he recently applied for welfare, but what about the 3 years or 2.5 years before that? How is he? They were living with him.
Well, he doesn't have a legitimate job, so
under the table, David.
If you want me to say that, but
right, I got you. All right,
I'm just never had a job.
Well, that certainly goes into play.
Did Leona just say he was selling drugs? Is that what she said?
Yes, she did.
Okay. All right. Well, save that for the courtroom.
Yeah, right. But, exactly.
I do think that you should definitely have representation because, again, these are like really important things
yeah, it's your
that
children,
are happening.
For God's.
And so to go it alone, really, you're never going to get the same results, the best results, when you're your own lawyer. That's it. I mean, that's the bottom line. So 215-227-2727, call us during the week. We'll get you in to see Irina, and August 1st is just around the corner, but it's not too late. Okay?
All righty. Thank you.
All right, Leona, take care. 215-227-2727. We got, let's see, Alexandra, Ms. Alexandra from North Philly. Hello, and welcome to Court Radio.
Good morning, sir.
Good morning. It's your question.
I got a question. It's been pondering me since my daughter was young. She's now almost 19. I just want to ask one question. I could never get child support, no matter how many times I went down there to 11th Street. They always denied me. I never seen nothing like this in all my years.
Let me ask you something. You got one question. Let me ask you one.
Yeah, right.
In all the time you went down to 11th Street, did you ever go down with a lawyer by your side?
No, not really. Welfare—that's why.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
but I assume you didn't get it because the person who you were trying to get
they gave it to me twice, but they, for some reason they talking about they can't find him.
Yeah, well, I was going to say either they can't get money from a stone. If he has no money, they're not going to be able to get it, and that's usually the case when you don't get it because they're going to go after it. No, especially welfare.
Right.
They'll go after it. So if there's money to be had,
they went after it.
Yeah, go ahead.
They went after it twice when she was 7 and 8, and then they just stopped.
Yeah, well, I guess maybe they got tired of chasing him just like everybody else.
Right.
But, you know, bottom line is that if in nowadays with computers and stuff, like Social Security numbers, they follow you all around. So you move from job to job. It's not long after you get to a new job before you're getting your check is getting garnished. But if you're one of those people who aren't legit and never was legit and you're kind of always under the table, it becomes a real challenge to try to get money from people like that. And maybe that's what we're dealing with. We'd love to go on with you, but we got to take a quick break. We're going to be right back in 2 minutes. We got to get our sponsors' messages heard. We'll be back in 2 minutes.
If you have legal problems and need answers, call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first at 215-227-2727 for personal injury, medical malpractice, birth injury, and more. Call Dean first.
He will fight for your rights. That's what Dean Weitzman is all about.
Call My Philly Lawyer, Dean Weitzman, first. 215-227-2727. My Philly Lawyer, when winning matters most. For 20 years, Center City Medical Center has provided premium expert medical services for Philadelphia. Whether you need musculoskeletal rehab or an immigration physical, call 888-945-EXAM. Our board-certified physicians have more than 80 years' experience from post-injury rehab to DNA paternity testing. To make an appointment at one of our three convenient locations, call 888-945-EXAM. Get premium expert care. Center City Medical Center, serving Northeast, North, and Center City, Philadelphia. If you've been injured on the job and are entitled to workers' comp, you need someone fighting for you from the start. Call Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law. Don't rely on your employer or insurance company to get it right. Call 215-512-1500. If you're entitled to workers' comp or it's being challenged, Jeffrey Gross can help get the money you deserve, and he won't get paid unless you get paid. Call 215-512-1500. Jeffrey Gross, attorney at law, representing Pennsylvania's injured workers for more than 20 years. It's a legal and financial squeeze. You're unable to work because of an accident, but your legal case is still not settled, so you can't pay the bills to take care of your family. But now, thanks to U.S. Claims, you can. If you have a pending lawsuit, call 1-877-US-CLAIMS. While you're waiting for your settlement, U.S. Claims can help you pay the bills. Get out of the squeeze. Call 1-877-US-CLAIMS today.
Is a paid program brought to you by My Philly Lawyer. The views and opinions expressed are those of the sponsor and do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station and its management.
Need more legal answers? Here's more Court Radio with your host, Dean Weitzman.
Okay, welcome back. Wrapping up the hour, folks. Court Radio is loving Philly. We got David Rappaport in the studio.
Hello.
And the newest My Philly Lawyer, Irina Shiloh.
Hello.
You know, Irina is a singer-songwriter in addition to being a fabulous lawyer. She's all out on the internet. You know, if you Google Irina Shiloh, you're going to get some songs.
Oh, you Googled me.
Yeah.
Because I'm a musician.
Before I hired you.
Did Dean tell you I was in the music scene?
Yeah. David is a drummer. Irina
several bands.
Got a voice. Together, you're a piece of something.
Well.
Yes.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. That's it. That's the right answer.
Yeah, I think we'll leave that
thank
one alone.
Thank you. a piece of something. We're going to, no doubt, leave some people on the line today. I just want to let everybody know we're doing domestic relations at My Philly Lawyer now, and if you got needs for representation, it's very easy. Just give us a call at 215-227-2727 during the week. You'll eventually get to see Irina and hang out with her for a little while. But remember, unlike personal injury, unlike medical malpractice, this area of the law requires cash or checks or credit cards. But you've got to pay to be represented. And if you do, you'll have her undivided attention and extreme talents to shepherd you through your troubled times. Let's talk to Elizabeth from Overbrook on a surrogacy comment. Hey, Elizabeth, welcome to Court Radio.
Hi, how are you?
We're well, thanks. How are you?
Good. I just had a comment on that surrogacy case.
Yes.
Wouldn't that depend on the contract they had, like a prenup?
A lot would depend on the contract, I suppose, and there's a lot of things you can contract. But I don't know that you can contract in favor of or away from your parental duties. So, like, if you're a mom and a dad, the court isn't going to honor a contract that, let's say, the dad says, I don't want anything to do with the kid, and I don't want to support the child. And mom says, don't worry, I'll take care of everything. And then you go to court. I think the court's going to say, well, we don't really care about that because guess what? The child wasn't a party to that contract, nor could the child be. And that, again, we keep getting back to this, but I don't want to beat a dead horse, but it's the child whose contractual rights are being interfered with. If you know what I'm saying?
Would they be able to make stipulations in that contract?
Sure. There's a lot probably they could do. But they can't contract away the obligation of support, Would you agree, Irina?
Yes, I agree. The only problem that we have is that she's not the biological mother.
I don't think it matters. In Dean's world, anyway,
right.
It doesn't
under
matter.
Under the law, currently, it may matter. So.
It may, yeah. But I would think that once you agree to bake the baby, then you're in. You're in for a penny. You're in for a pound. Elizabeth, because of your wonderful comments, we're going to give you a Court Radio T-shirt. If you stay on the line, dear, Monica's going to get your address and shirt size, and we're going to get you a T-shirt, okay?
Dean, you already sent me a package.
Oh.
Thank you. It's wonderful.
See that?
Can you give it to the next person?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Okay. She is so generous.
She deserves another package.
All right, Elizabeth, take care. Thanks for listening and being a Court Radio listener.
Okay.
Do we have not really, folks. We're run out of time. I'm so sorry, but Vince Hughes, the one and only, the honorable Vince Hughes, has to get on before we get off. And so I will say, I will bid you farewell. I will thank Irina and David for participating, guys.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
And if you've got domestic relations troubles, give us a call at 215-227-2727. Be well. Have a great week. We'll see you next time.
The preceding was a paid program of MyPhillyLawyer.com.